next presentation we have is Armarone, who's going to talk a bit about the danger of client-side scanning. Let's give a round of applause for Armarone.
Thank you. The European Union is proposing something very bad, and I'm going to tell you about it and why it's bad. I am the one person presenting this, but we've actually been talking about it in CryptoHagen, so it's not just, I don't deserve all the credit. So I don't really have slides, but I will put the outline over here. Oh, that didn't work so well. Let's try it. First is, I'm going to say proposal. Second, why. And third, things you could do. So in the last 3 years, there have been proposals that are effectively like, we're going to surveil everyone more in order to do something about child sexual abuse material and the solicitation of children on the internet for sexual abuse. And the first one is abbreviated CSAM, and the latter is abbreviated grooming. So these are like bad things, and the proposal is we're going to surveil people more so we can find these things and stop these things and bring the perpetrators to justice. There have been proposals in 2020 and 2021, and they were both, people said they were bad, and they didn't go anywhere. And then 2022, in May, there was another proposal. This proposal is number... I'll have notes on the page for this presentation, so you can see everything that I'm saying with all these references and links to papers and stuff. But I'll put the key stuff here. So this number proposal would require that tech companies screen their platforms for child sexual abuse material and establish the EU Center on Child Sexual Abuse to coordinate this screening. And supposedly, these rules are supposed to rescue children from abuse, prevent CSAM from reappearing online, and to bring offenders to justice. The proposal is quite vague about how it would be implemented. So I'll tell you some things that could be related that already exist. So one technique that I suspect would be used, but might not be adequate, would be to effectively, we create a database of sexual abuse material, and we compare every message on Facebook or Signal or whatever to this database. And it would probably only work for images, so simply. So a very simple way is you hash every known, you have some central party that collects all the child sexual abuse material that's been reported, and it takes a hash of each image. It could be an MD5 hash. And then on every client service, you take an MD5 hash of every image that's ever shared, as it's shared, and you compare them, and if there's a match, you send it to Big Brother. I found papers saying that two systems like this exist, and I'm sure there are many more. One I found is from the Canadian Center for Child Protection, and another is from Apple. And I'm sure there are others, but these two I have linked to some papers about them in case you want to read about them. So one way you could do this is with an MD5 hash. You can also use what is called a perceptual hash function, so that if you have two images that are similar, they will have similar hash values. And that way, I guess if the image is resized or something, you can, the simple version, if it's resized, you can match it, but also it can be a much more distant match. And later I'll mention you can have really bad false positives. So probably hacker people don't like this already, but the people who like this say that this is good, but we need more because we're having more child sexual abuse material, and we need more advanced methods than even perceptual hashing. And this is where artificial intelligence, whatever that is, will come about. But still, an image-based system only works for detection of known child sexual abuse material. Maybe with some more advanced system, we could detect like child sexual abuse material that we didn't know about before. Or maybe we could detect stuff that's happening by text, such as solicitation for sexual activities, grooming. And in practice, like I don't think the regulation says you need to have a human review this. I guess it would be really scary to me if they implemented this and there was no human review. But because there's human review, at some point, someone's going to read your private communications if there's a false positive. So if like you have an image of your dog that's marked as child sexual abuse material, someone will have to review this image and see that you took a picture of your dog. And I think even if we have like MD5 as the hash function, we will have false positives because you could have legitimate purposes. Like if you're two organizations that trying to detect and stop child sexual abuse material, they might share images between each other. So even in that case, you're going to have false positives. But if we use some complex artificial intelligence, surely there's going to be a lot of false positives. And one more point before, actually, no, I have a fun story on this last point. Years ago, I introduced two people who happened to work on detecting child sexual abuse material and other bad stuff. And they were like, one of them had some really cool idea that the other one really liked and they wanted to share the information. So the one sent an email to the other. And I was sitting right with them. And he said, okay, I'll send you the email, but I'm not gonna say what we were talking about. So like even two people who are employed in the business of stopping child sexual abuse can't say in their email that that's what they're doing. I'm still on the topic of what is generally being proposed and how it might be implemented. One more point on this. I called the talk client-side scanning, and I don't really like the name. Client-side scanning means I'm going to scan, I send you a message, and before you receive the message, some third party is going to scan it. Compare it against the known bad images. And that is one thing that would probably be part of this, but there are many other things that would be, that could maybe accomplish this. I think the client-side scanning is particularly relevant if we have end-to-end encryption, because if there's end-to-end encryption, we need some way to do the scanning while pretending to still maintain the end-to-end encryption. I wonder, did I like lose everyone? Because I don't have slides and pretty pictures, and maybe that helps. Okay, great, thank you. So I said I would do. Let's do this again. I said I would do what the proposal is. Now I'm going into the why section of I actually have two why sections. I have why it's bad, and then why people might have proposed such a bad thing. And I'm going to start with why it's bad. And I learned once that if you want to convince people of something, you should do three things. You should say they're called in Greek. I mean, I'm going to say it wrong. Like pathos, logos, and ethos, maybe? One of them is logical argument. One of them is some very emotional example. And the other is some authority. And I think people here care most about the first one, but I hope I won't bore you too much with the other two. So I'll first do the logical reasons. I think the privacy risk is kind of clear. Yes, and at some point, I pretty much already said that. There's going to be false positives. Someone's going to have to review it. And do you actually trust everyone in the, whoever, it could be the EU Center for whatever they're calling it, or it could be any of these companies that have to implement this. Someone there will be reviewing it, and it's probably not someone who, it's probably not a very, you're going to need a lot of people reviewing it, so I don't really trust that they're going to do everything properly. And like, if we have to scan, if we have a communication between you, me and you, and we're doing end-to-end encryption, we can't do this. So there has to be some method of breaking the end-to-end encryption. Like, one way to do it is we scan the image on your laptop before you encrypt it. Another is there's some master key that can decrypt your encryption. Either way, if you're going to follow the rule, your end-to-end encryption is broken because maybe there's a false positive. I mean, if you're actually, of course, if you're actually like sharing child sexual abuse material, the end-to-end encryption will be broken. But if you're doing a false positive, it will also be broken. So that's the like freedom reasons. But there are other reasons why it's bad. First is it's not known to be helpful for stopping child sexual abuse. Yes. So two points related to this. One is this newfangled technique is not shown to be effective. And a specific reason why it's not, first it's not known to be effective. Now we can speculate why it won't be effective. One reason it might not be effective is that, according to a board member at the Child Protection Association of Germany, Joachim Türk, most illegal online activities already occur via forums and the dark web. And I do not think that the dark web will implement this. And then even if you implement it, I mean, even if like I'm a criminal and I'm going to keep communicating by some place that's going to implement it, maybe I can find a way to work around it, especially if it's like implemented something like on the client application, I can find a way around it, you know. So yes, not shown to be effective, good reason to think it won't be effective. Also, there are already effective methods, and maybe we should just use them more. So, like, I found some articles about, like, police say that they can't get content, like, child sexual abuse material removed, but if just some random guy emails the service provider and says this is illegal, remove it, the provider will remove it right away. So, I didn't really look that much into, so I saw what the guy wrote, but I didn't check how correct it was. But there's something about that. But also some other guy was writing, like, just normal police work works. You don't need this mass surveillance. So I said, the reasons it's bad for freedom, it doesn't work. It's also, I said it breaks end-to-end encryption. It also creates a bunch of new attacks because I found a paper that does this. You can read it in more detail. And he went to, like, depending on how you implement, there could be different new attacks. You can imagine, like, if you have some master decryption key or if we have something running on the clients, there could be new attacks. Well, the thing is, the proposal is vague about what would be implemented, so you need to have a bunch of different possibilities of what might be implemented so that you can say why they're all bad. Okay, and then the last reason why it's bad is that children also need privacy. So you're monitoring, like, the main thing is you're monitoring if, like, a child is being solicited for sex or something. And so you're scanning everyone's message, but you're also scanning the child's message to protect the child. But in doing this, you're reducing the privacy of the child. So those are some reasons why it's bad. Now I'll give you a practical example that will make you feel so emotional to see why it's bad. Does anyone here use end-to-end encryption? I think a lot of you use end-to-end encryption, yeah. Like, I'll count signal, or CryptPad, for example. If you use signal or CryptPad or email with GPG, I guess the encryption would have to be broken in order for this to comply. So suppose like you're using something like this to communicate with your spouse, and one day you share a picture of your dog, and that's marked as a known as a that matches, that's a false positive match with an image. And there's a, I found a paper that they like, they were able to contrive a, there were some like examples they found that were like in the wild collisions that didn't look anything like each other, but then they also were able to find one that's like a child looked like a child looked like a dog. So it's totally conceivable that a picture of a dog could match some known child sexual abuse material. And so if you you share that, and then also maybe you say something about meeting somewhere, and maybe altogether this is going to be a false positive for child sexual abuse material and grooming, then probably a lot of your correspondence gets shared. And if you had like passwords in your correspondence, that's bad. If you mention something that's like the normal things, if you mention something that's legal where you are but not somewhere else, or it's illegal in the future or something, so everyone has something to hide, so you are now your privacy is gone and you didn't do anything wrong. Meanwhile, the people who are abusing the children know to use illegal stuff that doesn't have this surveillance implemented. And then, so that was the sad feeling example why this is bad. And now the last thing is bad is what some authorities say. And I think usually hackers aren't so into this, but I hope these are okay. There was a similar, so these examples are not directly on the proposal, but they're related enough, I think. There was an issue where German police was doing some general scanning for terrorists. And this went to court in Germany, and it was determined that data screening is legal only in the presence of concrete danger. So a general threat of terrorism does not suffice, and that was determined to be bad. There was also, from the 2020 proposal, that was similar to the 2022 proposal to surveil everyone in order to stop child sexual abuse. The European Data Protection Supervisor had some report on this, and it said a lot of great things, and one of the things it said is that confidentiality of communications is a cornerstone of the fundamental rights to respect for private and family life. Even voluntary measures by private companies, and the proposal is a requirement, not a voluntary measure, but even voluntary measures would constitute an interference with these rights when the measures involve monitoring and analysis of the content of communications and processing of personal data. And then the last big authority is the UN Human Rights Council, which did not have, I didn't find some report specifically on this, but they had some report on freedom on maybe the internet or something. And I think like the German Constitutional Court is like kind of a, maybe a normal kind of mainstream opinion that like we can't, it's illegal to scan for terrorists, just general scanning. The European Data Protection Supervisor I got to is a little bit closer to the hacker one, but the UN Human Rights Council report I think is like crazy hacker level. Because they say that encryption and anonymity play a critical role in securing the rights of freedom and expression. And they specifically mentioned Tor, that Tor should be protected and promoted. Like, instead of saying we need to scan all the children's communications to protect them from sexual abuse, we say we need to give children Tor. So I think the Human Rights Council would also say this is a bad regulation. And this, of course, begs the question, why would people propose something so bad? And I have two ideas. One is that people don't realize it's impossible to do what they want, that because all these proposals say that we are going to protect the children and at the same time we need to preserve everyone's privacy, including the privacy of the children. I found one report by one civil society group that I thought demonstrated this. If there's a lack of understanding, it demonstrated it well. I don't want to call out this particular group because I imagine it's just the report that I happened to find. I suspect there are others that have the same view, but I did reference the report. So it's some group that does some, it's called Five Rights. I guess I'll call it out, but I said it. You know, it's probably not just them, that do something related to protecting children. And they had this very long report about very wonderful things about all the rights that children have, and I think all humans should have these rights, not just children, but all these wonderful rights that they need. And then there was just one paragraph in this very long report saying that the children need privacy, but the privacy should not protect the child sex abusers, nor interfere with child sexual abuse detection systems. But that's all they said on it, like one or two sentences. So they didn't say how you're supposed to protect the privacy, but not interfere with the child sexual abuse detection systems. And like maybe they were hiding that they didn't know, or maybe they truly didn't know. But the point here is, one theory is that people actually think it's possible to scan all the messages for child sexual abuse while not destroying freedom. But the other theory is maybe more fun. It's a conspiracy theory. There is this group called Thorn that is like started by this famous guy, Ashton Kutcher, who they're like stop child sexual abuse on the internet thing. And so Ashton Kutcher and other people from Thorn have been lobbying the EU to have proposals like this. So you could say like they're just another people who don't know better, like they think it's possible. But actually they also have a proprietary screening service that it seems to me like they sell it, actually, even though they're Thorn is a foundation. They have this proprietary scanning service called Safer that I think they sell. And it could be that Safer requires the client side, they already have customers. Maybe if it were required that we surveil everyone, they would have more customers. So they've been lobbying the EU government, and the person, someone who's been involved in this, I don't really know anything about government, so I'm not going to say like a big word, like a proposed, because I don't actually know what that means. But Ursula von der Leyen has been quite involved in this particular proposal. So it could be like they talked to her because the lobbyists talked to her because she's actually proposed similar style of thing, like surveil people to protect the children before, which gave her the nickname Sensusula in Germany, apparently, when like 10 years ago. So yes, so we got to the, like, that was why it's bad and why people might want to do it anyway. Now the last point, maybe there's something we can do about it. There's already like a bunch of groups writing about how bad it is, which made it easy for me to tell you how bad it is. And I linked to some of those in these notes that you will be able to find in the program. But also, this was proposed in May, so there hasn't been a big European election since it's been proposed. And it's possible that this, like, whenever the Danish election comes up, it will be the first big election that since this has been proposed, so it might be something we should keep in mind. And like, yeah. So that's all. Thank you.
Any questions? Yeah.
Hello, I'm Henrik. There's at least two problems with these things in general. One is about the very emotional that we talk about child sex abuse, and everybody wants to protect against that. But they spend a lot of time arguing about that before they get to the second part where they say we must protect the children, which again is something that you really can't do these systems that detect it reliably. And we've seen it with antivirus systems, and we also have the same similar parallels with terrorism, where you cannot detect terrorism because we have like 200 definitions of what terror is. So they skip the part of what is possible And then they use a lot of time on the emotional part, and I'm not sure how we could combat that or how we can argue against that. I typically try to shut down the first part, saying that we all want that, so you don't have to talk more about that, but any ideas about how we can fight it would be nice.
Well, I've given you my ideas so far. One is to say it doesn't work, and the other is to, it doesn't work, I gave the emotional argument, and I gave the authorities what they're saying. Another point is, this is one of the reasons I like the conspiracy theory, because I think it makes more sense than, like, people really don't know. But, I mean, it could be combined, you know, like, you hire people who don't know better to lobby. Maybe that helps. But anyone else have ideas?
Not an idea, but another question. Which legislation is superior? If I have an Apple phone, is it the American legislation that needs to scan my phone, or is it the European that has to scan my phone, or is it the Australian that I communicate with?
I don't know.
No, but that's also a problem.
Yeah. Wait, do you say which is better or which applies?
Which applies? Which is superior? Which legislation?
Oh, I see.
Should be
all? Probably they all, yeah. I mean, it's also not defined. The internet is, yeah. We have one here.
Any more questions? Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good point. That's a problem. Oh, wait, actually, no, I do have some. I can say something vaguely related to that. So this article that I read about, like, it was some journalist who is questioning this idea that the police can't take down stuff. He was saying, the police say there is, like, the abuse material is in offshore servers, so we can't do anything about it. Well, first thing is, if you just email them, they'll take it down, regardless of where it is. But usually it's, like, in some place with good internet, like Europe, you know? So it might not even matter which one's superior. Like, it might all just already be covered.
Hi, yeah. Karen. Thanks very much for the presentation. There has been some debate about the proposal from the Commission already, but mainly from, I'm in the European Parliament, and mainly from colleagues from Germany that have been aware of this chat control proposal. How will we be able to unify sort of the populations and the opinions in other countries? Because I can do some stuff in the European Parliament as a Danish MEP, but unless we put pressure on the Danish government to stop it at the European Council and in other European countries do the same, then how is there a debate about this in other countries than Germany? And for the audience, how do we actually make this a debate that's going on in Denmark? And so suggestions for that. And then also you were mentioning the lobbying towards the EU institutions. Has there been any proof of that? Has there been any questions asked? Because otherwise that is something that we perhaps should look at asking questions on.
Yes. So to the first point, how to unify people, I don't know. Maybe you can tell me. If I knew better, maybe I would go into politics. To the second point, yes, there a bunch of people have made freedom of information requests to competent authorities to get these meetings with Thorne. And I, in the link that you'll see in the program, you can see all of these. I can even open them right now. Okay. So, yes, so like, there are so many, but here we go. Like, someone requested a list of all the meetings with Thorne from a Swedish government, and this has, like, here are all the meetings. There are a bunch. So I guess, actually, the list of meetings itself isn't all that interesting, but the person who requests it maybe is quite interesting. Does that help? More questions? Okay.
Oh,
Then we go on to the next question.
Yeah, maybe it's also a comment. I think the last success we had was 11 years ago with ACTA. Here it actually managed to go into the public media, and we went to the streets and we did everything. I just don't know why it happened, but at some point we made it to a critical mass, and then it was actually easier at least. So we mass mailed politicians and we did a lot of things. So I think that could at least teach us a little bit about what is possible, instead of us saying, okay, nothing is possible. Do you agree?
I don't really understand how normal people work. I mean, sometimes in very special contexts, with many years of study, I can learn. I do happen to have a qualified source had a theory on the ACTA thing. Maybe I'll tell you later. But her theory was that it was because of Polish soccer fans who couldn't watch their soccer, I think. That's why it, if I might be remembering incorrectly, whether it was ACTA or something else, but I definitely remember it was Polish soccer fans that couldn't watch their soccer.
Any more questions?
Here?
Yeah.
You mentioned that already, but there is definitely also an unwillingness of the police to do what is necessary to get these materials offline. There has been a report on public German television where the reporter sneaked himself into several child porn forums where there were share hoster links to such material, and he just reported that to the admins of the machines where the stuff was, and it disappeared within hours or in the worst cases days, and like 80% were hosted in the US and Germany. So it really works, and that begs the question if that was really the thing it's all about. Why don't they just do it, because it's proven that it works? So there might be other ideas behind constructing such an infrastructure to do other things than going against child porn.
Yes, I suspect that's the exact same article that I read. It was.
It's a TV report.
I messed this up. The person was. It was either no, it was, Robert Bongen and Daniel Mosbuke. Is what I have. But you know, since I just want to point out, because you bring up the topic of reporting when you see the child sexual abuse material on the website and reporting it, that is just part of this, and that's kind of like the easy thing, because if it's known to, if you've already established, if it's already in the database, it's pretty easy to do this, and this regulation would. The proposal would do much more than that. I mean, maybe it wouldn't actually, but like the way it's written, it would have to, in order to comply, you would have to do much more than that, than just taking down the material.
I think 11 years ago with ACTA, there was the luck that the digital rights community and the sort of anti-globalization and anti-capitalist movements came together in a common cause and therefore managed to stop a trade deal with the US. And I think that was perhaps why it succeeded 11 years ago. I think in order to stop the proposal on chat control, I think we need to emphasize on the fact that it doesn't work. That it will not make lives safer for children, because if we just say it's bad for all of our privacy, even though that we feel that this is an important enough argument, others will say, well, if the balance is saving children on the internet and giving up a little bit of our privacy, then we will prefer saving the children on the internet. So we'll have to say that this is not something that is going to work, and it is going to be cost too much, where the lobbying from the company that wants to perhaps sell their filtering mechanism might come in handy. And then also saying, well, I mean, we need to use police resources in an effective manner to actually help children that are being groomed or abused. And I think those are the sort of the arguments that we need to play on, because if we just say it's bad for our privacy and it's not, and it, in order to save children, then I don't think we'll mobilize that many people. So I think we really need to emphasize on what would work, rather than, and then we might be able to stop this throwing tech at a societal problem, which I think this is. They had the original proposal from 2020 that didn't come forward, and then they're now trying again, saying, okay, we have this problem that we don't know how to deal with, and therefore let's just throw some technology at it and see if it sticks.
Thank you.
Actually, if I may just also bounce off of that point, there's another aspect to it which I think is really important. It's not necessarily that it doesn't help. It can actually make the situation much worse, because as it currently stands, the people who are distributing this material feel comfortable distributing it over WhatsApp. Catch one of them and you've got the phone numbers of all the others. If we pass this law, we will push them onto the dark web or other distribution means which are more difficult to trace. So as a result, basically, it will actually make the lives of these people easier, and it will make it much harder to catch them. So I think that's also something that we should push, that not only will it not work, it might actually make the situation worse.
I have, gives me two thoughts, actually both of the last two comments. One of the thoughts is, we don't have any evidence to say it will work, which is a reason not to do this. But unfortunately, we don't have any evidence, like where someone implemented it and it didn't work, so that we can point to. It would kind of be nice if we did. It would be a very easy argument. And then to the theory that they're already comfortable using WhatsApp, so that would be pushed onto another service. There is a competing theory that because you can share it on like normal protocols, then it becomes normalized to distribute child sexual abuse material, and so more people will do it. So I think that argument itself, like with an example, like with an experiment or something, that would work. But on its own, I don't think it works.
Any more questions? No? Thank you very much for a very interesting talk.
Thank you.